Welcome to Talks from the Bible. I'm reading to you John chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. He was in the world, Jesus Christ, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus Christ left heaven and came into the world which he had created. The world had separated itself from God through sin. Jesus came to purge the sins of humanity and reconcile man unto God. But the world did not know him. He came unto his own people, the Jewish nation, and they rejected him. For years and years, God had spoken unto them through the voice of the prophets and had promised, predicted, that Jesus Christ would come. The prophets gave the details concerning the coming of Christ, the person that he would be, the death that he would die, and the triumph over death that he would enjoy through his resurrection from the dead. But these people rejected him. Many, many, many people today reject the Christ. They refuse to hear him. They refuse to follow him. They prefer to give themselves over to sin and the way of wickedness. They choose to travel the road of iniquity rather than to surrender themselves to the lordship of the Lord Jesus Christ. But John says, as many as received him, there will always be those who receive Christ, just as there will always be those that reject Christ. But those who received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. They were born, not of flesh, not of blood, not according to the natural reproductive process, but they were born of God. The birth which comes through Jesus Christ to reconcile us unto God and to purge us from sin is a spiritual rebirth. This opportunity, this blessing, this offering from God through Christ is made unto each individual. Those who receive him are those who believe upon him. Christ must be received or believed upon. One must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. One must believe that Jesus has died and has conquered death through his resurrection. One must believe that Jesus lives and that he is the only way to eternal salvation. John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Jesus gives us the right, the privilege, the honor, the power to become the sons of God. The choice is ours. We decide whether or not we will accept, believe upon, receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Each individual must make this choice for themselves. Later in John chapter 3 at verse 16, in this beautiful passage of Scripture, John writes the words of Christ as he speaks to Nicodemus. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God loved the world to the depth, to the intensity, that he gave Jesus Christ. Jesus is described as his only begotten Son, for Jesus, coming into the world, was born of God. His birth was not a natural birth, but rather his birth was by the power of the Holy Spirit. God had spoken by the angel unto Mary that the power of the highest would come upon her, and through the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus would be born. Mary was a virgin, and she bore the Christ. She brought him into the world through the power of God. Therefore, Jesus is described in Scripture as the only begotten Son of God. And God gave him into the world because of God's love for the world and God's desire that the world might be saved through Jesus Christ. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If we fail to believe on Christ, if we fail to receive Christ, then we shall perish. We must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We must receive the Lord Jesus Christ so that we have everlasting life. This is God's design. This was God's eternal plan even before the world was created. At John chapter 20 and verse 31, John says, "But these are written." Not everything that Jesus did has been written in the gospel account. Not every act, not every miracle that Jesus performed has been written. Not every word that Jesus has spoken has been written. But God has written sufficiently concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. God has given enough evidence in Scripture so that when we read and understand, we might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing, receiving him, we might have life through his name. In the 16th chapter of the book of Acts, Paul and Silas had been placed in prison. An earthquake occurs sometime around midnight as they are singing praise unto God. They're not complaining that they're in this prison. They're not mumbling against God that they are in this prison, but rather they are praising God. Even in the dire circumstances of our life and in the difficult moments of our life, we need to praise God. We need to always praise God, for God blesses us, and God helps us, and God will save us. As this earthquake occurs, this jailer asked Paul and Silas a question at verse 30. "What must I do to be saved?" Notice the word "must" in that question. Notice the phraseology of this man. What must I do? There are individuals who have told the religious world that they have to do absolutely nothing to be saved. An individual is not responsible for his salvation or her salvation. But this is not the teaching of divine inspiration. This is not the teaching, the word of the Bible. What must I do? And the response given by Paul and Silas to this jailer was, Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Thus Christ must be received. We must believe upon him as the Christ. And we are begotten of God. We are born of God. We're begotten by the gospel. The gospel is the message of Jesus' life and death and resurrection. The word gospel means good news. Indeed, the preaching of Jesus Christ is good news for the world. We hear all kinds of bad news, but Jesus is good news. Jesus must be received through our hearing of the gospel. We come to know him through the gospel. At 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 15, the Apostle Paul writes to the church of God at Corinth. Paul had traveled in Corinth, stayed in Corinth for a time, preached Christ in this city, and he writes an epistle to them, those that had received Christ and believed upon him. And he says at 1 Corinthians 4, verse 15, "For though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet have ye not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." They had been begotten through the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ. The preaching of Jesus Christ is the gospel. The word of the gospel is the sonship, the deity, the lordship of Jesus Christ. James chapter 1, verse 18, "Of his own will, the will of God, begot he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." The word of truth is the gospel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, Paul uses the phrase the gospel, and he announces that the gospel is the word of truth. It's a message of truth. When we hear the gospel, we can believe the gospel. When we read the words of the gospel in the pages of Scripture, we can believe the gospel. We can know that this word is true. And by this word of truth, by a word, not by any other means, not by a dream or a vision or some religious experience, but by the word of truth, God has begotten us. God has given us this rebirth, not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, not of man, but of God. 1 Peter 1, 22-23, "Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another fervently with a pure heart, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Born again by incorruptible seed. This incorruptible seed, according to the Apostle Peter, is the word of God. And in obeying the word of God, and he uses the phrase the truth, the word of God is the truth of God. And when we obey the truth, we have purified our souls. Our souls are stained with sin. Our relationship with God is severed because of sin. But the word of truth, the gospel, the incorruptible seed, will purify the soul. And we are born again by this incorruptible seed, even by the word of God. And the word of God lives and abides forever. Nothing can be done against the word of God. There is no power or force that can overthrow the word of God. The word of God might not be read. The word of God might not be heard. The word of God might not even be preached faithfully. But the word of God will abide forever. When Jesus Christ comes in the glory and majesty of heaven to judge the world, the word of God will be alive and well. This is the incorruptible seed, the word of truth, that we hear and we obey, by which, through which, we receive, believe upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and the gospel must be obeyed. We have the phrase in Scripture, obeying the gospel. The gospel is a word that must be heard, but the gospel must be received. The gospel must be obeyed by the individual who hears the gospel. We are not simply to listen to gospel preaching. We are not to find the preaching of the gospel as some additional form of entertainment in our life. We are to hear the gospel so that we might be saved. We should love the preaching of truth and appreciate the preaching of truth, but we must obey the gospel of Jesus Christ to be saved. Paul writes to the church of Rome, at Rome in Romans chapter 6, verses 17, 18, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin." Now, I want you to notice the transition in this passage of Scripture. "Ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness." They were the servants of sin, but they obeyed from the heart sincerely, devoutly, honestly. The doctrine that had been delivered unto them, and having obeyed that doctrine, being then, when they obeyed the doctrine, made free from sin, and they became the servants of righteousness. They were the servants of sin, but now they are the servants of righteousness. How did that transition take place? How did that marvelous rebirth occur? "Ye obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." And this doctrine was the gospel. Paul states in Romans 10:13-16, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Do you see God's plan of evangelism and his plan of converting and saving the world in this passage of Scripture? His plan was that the world would be saved through the preaching of the gospel. "And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" There are today those that have not obeyed the gospel. They may have heard the gospel, but they have rejected the gospel. Some listen to the gospel many, many times, several times during the week, perhaps every day, by some form or another, and yet they do not obey the gospel. The gospel has the power to change your life. The gospel has the power to bring you to God. The gospel has the power to offer you a life that will continue on and on, everlasting, eternal life. But you must obey the gospel. Do not simply listen to the gospel being preached, but obey the gospel. At 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9, Paul says, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power." Jesus Christ is going to come in the majesty of heaven. He will be surrounded by an angelic host. He will come in flaming fire. Why? What will occur when he comes? He will take vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. What awaits those that do not obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? The vengeance of God. God, through Christ, is going to bring His vengeance upon those that do not know Him and that have not obeyed His gospel. And the Apostle Paul said, they shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His might. We must obey the gospel so that we are begotten of God. We must obey the gospel so that we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we are saved. I want to examine with you obedience to the gospel. What does the Bible tell us about obedience to the gospel? First, let me suggest that the gospel is the power of God and the revelation of God's righteousness. God's righteousness was and is His desire to save humanity from sin. We read of the righteousness of God throughout Scripture. And the gospel is His power. And the gospel has revealed unto man, made known unto man, God's righteousness to save the world. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The just shall live, the unjust shall not live. The gospel is God's power to save the soul of the sinner. And the gospel reveals the righteousness of God, God's eternal plan of human redemption from sin. In obeying the gospel, we see the justification by grace through redemption by the blood of Christ. In obeying the gospel, we are justified. We are made just before God. We're justified by God's grace. God graciously offers humanity justification from sin. God was under no obligation to offer man this salvation. God is not indebted to man in any way. Man is indebted to God. Justification by grace through redemption by the blood of Jesus Christ. Romans 3:21-25. But now the righteousness of God without the law given at Sinai, the law of Moses, is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. God has been long-suffering with humanity. Isn't it marvelous to know that if we sin, God does not immediately strike us down, but rather He gives us the opportunity, because of His gracious character, to be redeemed from sin through the blood of Christ. This righteous plan of salvation has been revealed by a message that the Bible calls the gospel. And by that gospel, which we hear and which we obey, we are justified in the sight of God because of His grace through the redemption that comes by the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ delivered and justified us. Romans 4:25. Who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Christ was delivered to death. He suffered the death of the cross. He endured that horrible, agonizing death. Such shame And such reproach was heaped upon Christ in his death on the cross, and he was delivered because of our offenses, not because of any wrong that he had done, not because of any sin that he had committed or any violation of his character. He was delivered for our offenses, but he was raised again for our justification. Christ died on the cross, but he was raised from the dead by the power of God, so that you and I might be justified from sin. And that marvelous message of justification has been made known unto us by the gospel. We must simply obey the gospel. Surrender ourselves to the gospel. In obeying the gospel, we die to sin and put on Christ in baptism. Romans 6:1-6. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The newborn creation of God dies to sin, lives unto God. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That's rebirth. We're born again through Jesus Christ. We ought to give thanks every day that Jesus Christ has come into the world and that he has died on the cross. We're baptized into Christ, whereby we die to sin, whereby the old man is crucified and buried, and we're raised from baptism to walk in newness of life, no longer serving sin, but going forth from henceforth, even unto the end of our life, to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also need belief and confession. Romans 10:8-10. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Paul is telling us in this marvelous book of Romans that the gospel has revealed the righteousness of God. And through that righteousness we have redemption from sin. We have justification from sin by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to put Christ on in baptism. But we are to believe in our heart that Jesus is the Christ, and that God has raised him from the dead. And with our mouth we are to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and that he has come into the world and lived a life of absolute perfection in the presence of God, even in a sinful world, so that we might be saved. Acts 16:30-34. The jailer said, "What must I do to be saved?" Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and all thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Belief in Christ and receiving Christ is an obedient act of faith, where we respond with belief in our heart, confession of our mouth, and baptism into Jesus Christ, whereby we are saved, born of God. Will you not hear the gospel? and obey the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Talks from the Bible are brought to you by the Church of Christ at South Commerce Street in Somerville, Georgia.